Good morning. Hello. Good morning. Hey, Olivia. We're about to start. Good morning, everybody. It's been quite a while since I've been up in the seat. What are you doing, Doug? Okay. Well, I heard a little rumor here that it's Casey Cordry's birthday. So we ought to sing happy birthday. With my really awesome voice, it's not going to happen right now. Lainey can start. Where is she? Charity can start. There you go. Happy birthday, Casey. Thanks, Doug. Well, like I was saying, it's been quite a while since I've been up in this chair teaching from this seat, and it's exciting to be here, even though I have quite a raging head cold going on. So I may take a little break here and there to have some nice hot tea and to wipe my nose, and as long as you'll forgive me that interruption, we can move forward. It was kind of interesting to me when the scheduling all fell out and ended up that I was going to be teaching on the week about peace. And so that's our topic for today, if you didn't know. Because I am in the middle of the raging head cold as well as the week before finals. Peace was the message I needed to hear. And it was cool because I was talking to Brandon this week, and we were talking about how the things that we end up teaching are the things that God needs to teach us anyway. And so it's just a really efficient way for God to do that for us. And then we get to be humbled and share with everybody else. So I'm glad to be able to share this message with you today. What's interesting to me about the concept of peace as an Advent as we're walking toward Christmas is that most of the time as Americans, we're not very peaceful about how we approach Christmas. We spend a lot of time rushing around, being super, super busy with parties and baking and shopping and preparing and doing all these other things that are added to our schedule, cleaning more. I mean, just extra, extra work. And in the middle of all of that, it's really hard to carve out some time for peace, some space to be able to hear from God and to be prepared for the birth of Jesus in that celebration. And so I hope what everybody is able to take away from today is an ability to carve out that space for peace. Just even if it's a couple of minutes a day as we go through these next 2 weeks to Christmas, that you would find Christ's peace, because that's what he came to bring. So the first thing I want to ask is, what does peace mean to you? So anybody can answer. Calmness. Calmness within your spirit and all around you. Any other thoughts? Go ahead. I thought you said something. Yeah. Contentment. That's awesome. So what Cheryl said is a spiritual gift, and that it's this constant, rock steady state of being that's not disturbed by anything else around you. It's kind of a knowing, almost. I like that. So when I was looking at our study of peace today, we look in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew word is shalom, and a lot of you have probably heard about that before, that word shalom. And in the New Testament, it's in Greek, and it's eirene. And those two concepts really mean the same exact thing, which is pretty unusual for scripture for one concept. And I was looking in my concordance that's keyed into the different languages, and almost to a fault, there is not any deviation in the word that's used for peace in the NIV. So it's almost always shalom and eirene, which is pretty incredible, because a lot of times the words that we find in the Bible, because the languages of Greek and Hebrew are a lot more concise than English, we've got lots of different English words that are used to describe them. So it's pretty consistent. Some of the words that are used to describe peace were wholeness, reconciliation, harmony, and an absence of conflict. And I think it's important for us to really key in on wholeness and reconciliation today, because that's really what Christ has come to bring us. And so that leads me on to the next section. In the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he was talking about who Jesus is and giving them a bigger picture of what that is. And I just want to read this to you today, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. So I love this section of Scripture because it's so clear to us that Jesus himself is our peace. He made peace with God for us on our behalf. And the thing that really struck me is that in order to discover peace and experience peace in our lives, we have to know Christ, who is our peace. And if you take anything away from the talk this morning, it's that you have to know Christ if you want to know peace. If you want to experience the fullness of God in peace, know Christ. And that's something that we talk about here a lot. I mean, as we become maturing believers, we have to know Christ and know him more and more and more each day. And there's a lot of things that are added into that. But just, if you know, walk away with anything, know peace by knowing Christ. Because Christ was the reconciliation by his blood on the cross. So Christmas is not the separate entity from Easter. These two things are united. Christ's birth, his incarnation, his coming, his inbreaking into the world at Christmas that we celebrate, is connected to his death and resurrection on the cross that we celebrate at Easter. Those two things have to go together for us to experience the fullness of God. So because we have this peace in Christ, then we're compelled to share this peace with other people, to extend that grace, to extend that peace to others. And so when I think about how we celebrate Christmas in the United States, it's this huge thing that we've missed the mark. We spend all of our time celebrating Christ together by buying each other presents. Is that what Jesus did to help us celebrate peace? I mean, it's not at all the way that he did that. So the Advent reminds us that peace is one of these blessed conditions that Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7. If you haven't spent time in the Sermon on the Mount, I highly encourage it. I think it's one of the most succinct, if Jesus was ever succinct, sections of Scripture for us to learn from how we should live our lives. And there's these lists of blesseds, I like to call them, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and this is one of them. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. So I was looking at this week, and I'm like, okay, blessed are the peacemakers. Cool. Like, Jesus likes people that are peacemaking. For they will be called children of God. Okay, well, aren't we all children of God? Because, you know, once we've accepted Christ, we become a child of God, all this stuff. But I really think that there's, like, a deeper meaning of that. Jesus himself was the Son of God. And as we know from what Paul stated to the Ephesians, that Jesus is the peace. I think in some sense, Jesus is saying to us in this one simple little verse that we can become peace for the world. We can be the peacemakers because he has given us this position as a child of God when we are a peacemaker. That's incredible. It's an amazing opportunity for us to be able to walk forward and have the power of God with us as we attempt to make peace. So we have a big calling where that's concerned. But I think that peace has a multidimensional aspect. There's not just peace in general that we're doing in the world. I think first we have to remember that we have to find peace in ourselves. We have to discover what it means to be content with our circumstances. And we talked a lot about that when we were talking about Thanksgiving and contentment. We also have to discover peace for our relationships with other people, for friends, family members, our enemies, those that we have to interact with on a daily basis that we really don't like to interact with. And we also have to find peace for our world. Jesus desires to use us in this place to be able to help make right what is wrong. We live in a world that is broken and hurting. And for those of us who are called by Christ to live lives of love, we are called to live lives of peace and to bring that to other people in all the world. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about each of these things. So how do you think we can cultivate peace for ourselves? Charity said finding our identity in Christ. Yes, Lainey. Yeah. Pray instead of freak out. It's a good place to go. Any other thoughts? Okay. So I wanted to bring us to this passage from Psalms, Psalm 34, 8 through 14. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So just in this passage, I see how we should pursue thanksgiving, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, knowing God, striving after knowing him. There's a level of intentionality that's here, and that last verse sort of talks about seeking peace and pursuing it. Peace just doesn't come to you just by you just like hanging out and going, okay, God, bring me peace. Just bring me peace. There has to be us going after it, seeking it, finding it, desiring to live a life that will bring you into peace. There's this level of contentment that's required. Being able to see a bigger picture for your circumstances and not just getting stuck with this stinks right now and I don't like it and I want to get out of it. But instead saying, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me here? Who's the person you want me to be in the middle of these difficult circumstances? And another thing I think a lot of us struggle with is really seeing ourselves as God sees us. That's a huge challenge, especially when you know where you fail and you struggle with certain things over and over again. But you can find peace when you say, okay, God, you see me as clean. You see me as new. You see me as whole. And I'm not broken forever in God's eyes. So that's another way that we can bring peace for ourselves. So How can we cultivate peace with other people? In our relationships. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So loving in the middle of other people's ugliness. Yeah. Oh, it certainly does. How else can we cultivate peace with others? Yeah. So confronting well is important. And that seems like opposite of what you would think when you're talking about peace, because you're like, well, we're just trying to make it better and make it go away. But in the long run, just glazing over conflicts doesn't make it better. It often creates resentment. Yeah, that's awesome, Steve. Steve said it's the maker part of peacemaking because it's an active thing. You're going out and doing it. Any other thoughts? I mean, there's about a million things that we can talk about, because especially I was thinking about this, how important it is right now, because at Christmas you end up spending so much more time with family. And maybe these family members aren't people that you interact with on a regular basis, because there's been conflicts and issues and problems in the past. So, you know, really personalize this stuff, because it's something that you need to be ready to deal with if you're going to go see some family that you have struggles with at the holidays. The verses that I picked out, there's, you know, about a 5 million, especially in Paul's letters, about how we relate to one another and how we love one another. And this is from Romans 12. It's verses 9 to 21. I know it's long, but bear with me. I didn't want to chop it up. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with each other, with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So some of the things that I felt like really fell out of this chapter or this section was that we're called to forgiveness. And I did a whole like 2-week thing on forgiveness last summer. There's a lot there that we need to do in order to embrace peace in our relationships by forgiving. We need to be prayerful. Like, we need to be prepared when we're dealing with people that we struggle with, that God will go before us, that it's not just us trying to make peace. We need to be joyful, even in our difficult times in our relationships. And we need to be loving to everybody, especially our enemies. And I think the call that Paul has here is for us to be selfless and not to be selfish, to be able to step out of our own shoes for a little while and see other people's perspectives, I think does a lot to help us bring peace to our situations. So the last area, the last dimension is cultivating peace in the world. I think a lot of us in this church have a passion for social justice and for bringing light and life to people that live in darkness a lot of the time. I think it was harder to find a specific passage to support that kind of dimension, but I think the whole of Scripture, and especially Jesus' call for us to, you know, go and to make disciples, and that it's not just about their spiritual condition, it's also about their physical condition, about bringing restoration and life in all dimensions. So this is a couple verses from Titus that I really liked. It kind of reminds us that we're under authority as well. So remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. Sometimes we don't like to be reminded that we have to follow laws and rules, and that was a calling that Jesus had for us too. You know, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. We have to pay our taxes. We need to follow laws. But if laws are unjust, that we can go about it in the right way of going to change these things. We need to be gentle in our ministry to people that are in need around the world. And I think it's hard sometimes because we want to just go in and fix problems, but we don't necessarily see the bigger picture understanding of the systemic difficulties that exist around the world. So in essence, we just need to be followers of Jesus' calling to peace on a global level and to support reconciliation movements that occur around the world, because there's a lot of tribes and cultures and ethnic groups that are at war with one another, and we need to be on the forefront of helping those people to come into reconciliation with one another. So I just wanted us to be able to spend some time thinking about together some ways that we can be global peacemakers. What are some movements that you know about or are passionate about? Lady. Yep. It's a huge problem. Some of us are going to be volunteering at the Passion Conference. This is just my shameless plug. And right now there's 37,000 college students that are registered to go to the conference. And Lainey and Charity and I are volunteering. And we do need more volunteers. It's a lot of students to wrangle. But the last, 4 years or so, they've had some global causes that they've been supporting in order to help everywhere, to get Bibles places, to give clean water, to, you know, rescue people from sex trafficking. And this year they decided that the one cause is going to be the reduction of global slavery. And their goal is to raise $1 million for that. And they had this really awesome video that I posted and Charity also posted on Facebook this week just about what they're going to be doing with that. The statistics are that there are 27 million slaves currently around the world, and it happens here in the United States too, and I don't think we think about it. What's that? There's more now than there's ever been in the history of the world. And, you know, I think we would like to think that that is something that happened in history, that we don't have to think about it anymore. It happens in other countries that are deeper in poverty than we experience in the United States. But it's a reality. And I'm excited to be a part of an organization that cares about people that way and desires to be peacemakers in the United States and as well as around the world. So, since I'm just talking, whatever. So so other things that we can work on and be peacemakers about are poverty, clean water, healthcare, reduction of global warfare, in the way that a lot of times children get brought into that, increasing fair wages, being on the forefront of human rights, and all the ways that shows itself all over the world. I mean, and that's just a little list. I'm sure you guys could come up with more than that, and causes that are really close to your hearts. And so my encouragement to you is, for things that you care about, get involved. Don't just, you know, sit on the sidelines or say, oh, that's a really difficult thing. There's so much to be done, and I can't do anything. I'm just one person, because that's a lie. You are one person that can join a movement of other people that care to bring the message of Christ to the world and to live that out by being peacemakers. So I know this is kind of heavy stuff, and you know, it's Christmas time, and so we should all be happy and excited about that, and we should be. But the reality is that, you know, Jesus has come to bring peace, and we need to practice what it means to live that in our lives. One of my professors at seminary, he's a funny guy. His name is Dr. Burrow, and he's an older gentleman. And he always begins each of our classes by saying, let's take a moment for a quiet reflection, which I kind of thought was odd when I first started taking the classes, because it's like, it's seminary, we should pray at the beginning of class. But the more that I've experienced that, the more that I've enjoyed being able to just have that couple minutes of space before we start in on class. You know, because 9 times out of 10, I'm, you know, running from one thing to another, going and going and going and going, and just ready to start another thing. And I think that's what happens to us at Christmas, is that we get going and going and going, that we don't sit and spend time just reflecting on all that God has given us for the beauty of the birth of his son and the humble way that he came. So when I was a kid, one of the things I loved the most about Christmas is, after we had the tree up, I would just go in the living room and shut off all the lights and just look at the Christmas tree. I cry every time I talk, just so you know. And I just would like for us to do that. We'll turn off the light. And we can sit and just spend some time just looking at the tree. Not because it's the tree that we're worshiping. We just need to reflect on the Jesus that it represents. He's the light of the world. He's come to bring that light to us in our hearts. He's come to bring that light to us in our relationships with other people. And he's come to bring that light for us to go out into the world where there's darkness and to be light. So I brought up the little basket of stuff that has like markers and crayons and pencils and things in there. And there's some index cards in there too. So however you want to respond today, as you're reflecting on Christmas and looking at the Christmas tree, do that. If you want to draw, if you want to write, whatever. Let's just take a few minutes to just have a moment of quiet reflection.